This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.
Welcome to Dodger Stadium.
Dodgers win!
This is the golden age of Dodger Baseball.
It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out. What is going on, Dodgers Nation? Welcome to the Dodgers Nation post-game show. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Thanks for rocking with us after the Dodgers lose again. Another loss to the Cincinnati Reds. They fall to the Reds by a final score of 3-1. The Dodgers' record drops from 33-21. They're now 5.5 games up on the San Francisco Giants, who are starting to put wins together, and they're falling further behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League. If you look at their league ranking right now, the Dodgers 5 games back of the Phillies, who have the best record at 37-15, the best record in all of baseball right now. The Dodgers also behind the Yankees, Guardians, Royals, and Orioles. But forget about the National League right now. Forget about the entire sport right now. The Dodgers offense continues to struggle. The bottom of the lineup continues to not produce. We're going to break it all down, but first things first, on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about the lack of production from the Dodgers' bottom of the lineup? And also, we got news after the game that Shohei Ohtani is dealing with an injury. He's been nursing a hamstring injury. So we have so much to get into. It's a Saturday night. Had to go live. Let's see your comments down below, because I know that the Dodgers, look, you're in Cincinnati, sold out. You've been struggling. You get a loss yesterday where at least the offense comes alive. Tonight, the offense, they were awful. I mean, you score one run tonight. You had multiple opportunities. You just couldn't capitalize. We're going to break it all down. But first, let me know, what are you guys thinking with the takeaways today? And also, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your concern level about this Dodgers offense? Because I have some thoughts on that and what they need to do. Alex says a 10 at this point. They've been struggling since the beginning of the year, basically. Alex, yeah, you guys know I bring my facts to the fight, and you know that we've broken it down in depth. And look, the bottom of the Dodgers lineup is towards the bottom in offensive production in essentially every single category. I mean, batting average, OPS, weighted runs created plus slugging, you name it, they're either one, two, or three worst, they're top three worst, or top five. I mean, they are towards the bottom in every single offensive category. And tonight, you really saw that on display throughout this one. And that's what really, really is frustrating when you watch this game, because look, this Dodgers offense, you know they're going to be top heavy just because of the superstars, right? The disparity of talent between Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and the rest of the gang, it's going to be a wide gap just because of how talented they are. But Freddie Freeman didn't come through, and you saw certain opportunities for Will Smith. He doesn't come through. And tonight, it was on display. The bottom of the Dodgers lineup, they combine to go 0 for 10 in this one. And Freddie Freeman and Will Smith, you were ahead 2-0 with the runner at third. Both of them couldn't come through. They both popped out, and they stranded Shohei Ohtani in the third and in the sixth inning. So two opportunities to score a run there, and Freddie Freeman and Will Smith, they weren't able to come through. So yes, the bottom of the lineup, they've been bad all season long. They have not played up to any type of rhythm. You've had James Altman in there early in the season. He's out. He's down in AAA. You had a hot Andy Páez. He's cooled off. You brought up Miguel Vargas. Haven't seen enough of him. Chris Taylor, he's been the least productive, the worst bat statistically in Major League Baseball all season long. And look, even Kike Hernandez, Gavin Lux, I mean, these guys just have not given them enough offensive production. And to me, I don't think there's any doubt about it. If you want to take full advantage and you're truly all in on the 2024 Dodgers, you cannot say, okay, this guy's going to turn it around. That guy's going to turn it around. This guy's going to figure it out at the plate. No, no. You have to take matters into your own hands. You need to use those prospects and you need to cash them in. You need to take those chips and push them in the middle of the table. You need to take some money out of that 401k and say, you know what? Parades over prospects. We're going to go out there and we're going to get a guy who's hot this year already, who's hitting this year already, who's more proven at this stage of his career than relying on guys to figure things out. I think that if you're a Dodgers fan, you're a little frustrated because it feels like we've been waiting a long time for certain players to figure things out, and you saw that on display today. But we're going to get into, we're going to break it all down. We got to talk about Shohei Ohtani's injury, but I want to read your comments right off the bat and let you know that if you haven't yet subscribed to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel in the game, all you have to do to win a Shohei Ohtani Road Gray Authentic Dodgers jersey is one, subscribe, two, comment GOAT Tani down below. So every video, you want to comment that, you increase your chances of winning. Also, comment of the show, you're going to see one of these. When you bring those fire takes, you're going to see one of these. A bruh, Anthony Little Sus, one of these. How about a roast? One of these. A little
finish him
action. But here we go. Let's read some comments here. Valo, okay, D-Mac, you told us why Ohtani barely made that triple. Please tell us why he bears that large black sleeve on his right arm. I mean, that's a compression thing, really, just to keep it warm, and it's a part of just kind of the recovery process. I think it's kind of psychological at this point and physical when it's for him to just go through the process of rehabbing. So it's not really a huge impact. But, you know, we'll start. Well, let's read some more comments, and we'll start with the Ohtani injury because that's the biggest story right now, and it's not necessarily earth-shattering, or he's not going to necessarily miss time, but anytime it's Shohei Ohtani and any type of injury, it's the top of the order when it comes to the leadoff. But this is still our year. Need some trades. That's from Jack. We got Albert Gomez. I ain't worried about the Dodgers. They have spoiled his fans so much. Hear me out. Dodgers will go beast mode come the postseason. I like the positive. Giving it a fire take. A little Michelada half full action there. Laker EB82. This team is not being the likes of the Phillies and the Yankees. Yeah, that's who you have to compare yourself to, right? And it's still early. It's still early enough, and you're dealing with injuries, but still, I mean, the bottom of that order, it hasn't been really about the injuries. It's been about the guys that you expected to produce that you thought were going to have better seasons statistically and at the very least get on base, provide more opportunities for the top of the order to cash in on RBI situations, but that just has not been the case. Bilal K, I'm not going to say that if Lux held the tag on the first inning stolen base, the runner would have been out and the first base is loaded. No outs. One run scored is embarrassing because this happens too much. That's from Bilal K. So great point. I mean, when you're slumping moments like that, right? Gavin Lux, if he had held the tag there in the first inning on that stolen base, the runner, they would have been out, right? I mean, those situations definitely play a big role and they're magnified when the team loses in this fashion and when the team is going through a slump. Look, last couple weeks, they're playing around 500 baseball. Before yesterday, I mean, they were 7-6, 7-7. Now they're 7-8, right? Under 500 baseball. And the Giants, they're starting to make some inroads in the National League West. So, yeah, it's definitely worth discussing because, hey, I mean, it's such a long season that it's absolutely a factor. But let's start with the Shohei Ohtani injury, and then we will circle back. We're going to break down this whole game because there was a positive. I think the biggest positive for me was the performance of Walker Buehler. We'll talk about that in a bit. But after the game, Dave Roberts, he told reporters that Shohei Ohtani has been nursing a hamstring injury. This is from Fabian Ardaia. Fabian Ardaia tweet out, Shohei Ohtani cruised around the bases on his sixth inning triple because the club has put a governor on him. Ohtani's dealing dealing with a right hamstring contusion after getting hit there with a pickoff throw during the last homestand, something the Dodgers are managing, Roberts said. So, yeah, if you remember, during the last homestand, that pickoff attempt in that Diamondback series, there was a play where he was grimacing a little bit. I remember saying, okay, that's not nothing because of the way he reacted to it. And his offense did go down a little bit because of it. I mean, before that triple, he ends up going and snapping an 0-for-10 skid. So you look at the triple and look at the way he rounded the bases. He did have that governor on him, so to speak, right, where he's not going full bore, 10 out of 10, running like it's the Super Bowl, and he's trying to score the game-winning touchdown or anything like that. He wasn't running like that, but he still was able to get a three-bagger, but here's the play.
Down the line, a fair ball. Ohtani snaps the 0-for-10 with an extra base hit into the corner. He makes the turn, jumps for third, relay from De La Cruz is laid, and Ohtani's got a triple.
So the minute I saw him round second and he was running at that speed, I said either A, he thinks he's going to be that safe because of where he hit the ball, or B, there's something wrong. There's something off, because that is Ohtani running at like a six, maybe even less than that. I mean, that's a very ginger running style from Shohei Ohtani. And I think that explains his recent struggles at the plate, if you want to call it that, as far as an 0-for-10 slump, because hitters will tell you, they talk about being connected to the ground, right? Feeling that base underneath them. And I think that with the hamstring injury, there's no doubt about it that that's impacting him to an extent at the plate. And you look at the night that Ohtani had, he does hit the triple, but you haven't seen as much power of late. I mean, the slugging this week hasn't been what we've seen from him when he was really off to his best start of his career with extra base hits and everything statistically. This has been the best start of Shohei Ohtani's career, but tonight he goes 1-for-4. Also had 3 strikeouts. So I do think that there's something to the connectivity with the hamstring and the lower body and just syncing everything up. I think he's trying to play through it, which is commendable, but you hope that this is not something that lingers. And for me, if that there's any chance at all whatsoever that this can get any worse and lead to a possible bigger, more significant injury, I think you should shut Shohei Ohtani down immediately, allow him to get to 100%, and then you say to the other guys, hey, it's time for you to step up. You guys are getting paid millions of dollars too. You guys are all-stars too. You guys are players that are expected to produce, right? This isn't the guy that's the smartest kid in your class and then you have the group project with him and he's doing all the work on the group project and you get an A. No, you have to earn your A too. And there are guys that earn their A's. Basically, it's just Mookie Betts right now. But outside of that, it's very concerning to me that he's playing through this, that the team continues to lose last couple weeks under 500 baseball, and Mookie goes 1-for-4, Freddie Freeman goes 1-for-4, Smith goes 1-for-4, you have Teo goes 1-for-4, but the bottom of the lineup, Gavin Lux, 0-for-2 with a strikeout. Jason Hayward, 0-for-2 with a strikeout, ground into that double play early on. Kike Hernandez, 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts, and then Chris Taylor, 0-for-3 with 1 strikeout. Look, what did I tell you at the beginning of the season when it came to the bottom of this lineup? I said that it was the meme where you had the horse and the back of the horse is drawn perfectly like an artist did it, and then the end of the horse where it's the front, it looks like a toddler did it. This is the meme that represents the Dodgers offense right now, except it's in reverse. It's in reverse where the front of the lineup, they're holding their weight for the most part, but the bottom of the order for the entire season, they just have not looked the part. They have not done enough. And I think that if you're Andrew Friedman, the process should have already begun about evaluating the types of players that you want to try to enhance this offense. So let me know down below in the comment section, do you believe in the current players on the roster at the bottom of the order to be able to step up and perform? Or do you think that it's time to begin the process of looking externally to adding some pieces? You guys know how I feel. Parades over prospects. Go out there. What must be done immediately should be done. What must be done eventually should be done immediately. And I think if you're this Dodgers team, it's just really discouraging what you've seen from the bottom of this lineup for the entire season. And I think that they're in a position where, look, you don't have to go and trade any of these established players necessarily, right? But I do think that, yeah, we're a couple weeks away from saying this is who you have and these guys are what they are, and you can't bank on these guys who are having down years to step up and be those guys you hope they're going to be, because at some point the top of the lineup is going to wear down. The top of the lineup is not going to be able to carry this team for an entire season. But here we go. We got trade for Bo from the Blue Jays. You guys know who's been saying that the longest. Michael Carrillo should honestly consider getting JD back. I was thinking about that, man. Just throw Ohtani in the outfield. Now, of course, you can't do that now with the hamstring injury. And obviously, that was most likely not going to happen. But welcome to the Fire Dave Roberts Show, LMAO. Don't say Bo. He's hitting 220. Gary A., I know it's a long season, but I don't like it. I'd give the body of work thus far of the pitching a C-. What up, Albert Gomez? So he says, what's up, D-Max? Steven Blevins, I get more hits on my OnlyFans than Taylor gets at the plate. Steven Blevins, you're getting a bruh. Boomer Assassin, very frustrated with the experimentation that never ends. Bring back JT. JT's Rod Wilson having a really rough go of it of late. Had a really strong start, but I think that you can't, when it comes to acquiring players, you look at a lot of different things, and I think the first thing you ask yourself is this someone that would benefit from a change of scenery? Is this someone that has had bad luck, has a low BABIP, or his peripherals as far as exit velocity are high, and some of his expected batting average and those types of numbers say that, okay, the results aren't what the player should be receiving, right? The player should be getting better results based on his quality of contact. So Dodgers have a plan. Wait on it. Jason Diamond, fire the bottom half of the order. D-Mac, let's not panic. We're fine. That's from Daniel. My freakout meter right now is at a 5, and that's not because I necessarily am in panic mode or pressed a panic button. It's because I trust that anytime you commit over $1.2 billion in the offseason and you sign a Shohei Ohtani and Yamamoto and you make the moves you made, there's no way that you're going to say, okay, we're in the red zone, we're at the 5-yard line, let's just punt now, right? You're not going to do that, right? You're going to go for the end zone. You're going to go out there and try to add some pieces. And I think that that is what was the first part of the season was always about, evaluating what you do have.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
To see what you need to address at the trade deadline. And I think if you want to point to past years, I mean, last season where you made some moves on the margins, you brought some guys back that were previous Dodgers. Yeah, those weren't big swing moves, right? But I think that this team is so committed to this current group and this year, knowing that, look, is Freddie Freeman already starting to show signs of his age, right? How much longer can Mookie Betts perform at this level? I mean, you need to take advantage of this core group, and the only way you can do that is by putting the finishing touches on a roster that clearly has some holes on it right now. And we're not even talking about the bullpen that's missing some key pieces, and you should probably add to that. But right now, the bottom of the lineup absolutely needs to add some depth, and I am convinced of it at this point. Hello, D-Mac. What up, Prado? What up, Bilal K? I like what I hear you saying right now, D-Man. What a Bilal K. Always rocking with this one, man. BC says spoiled equals one World Series every 35 years. Yeah, I mean, spoiled in the money. Exactly. I mean, look, I've talked to people within this organization. I'm talking to the owner of the Dodgers. They're not satisfied with one World Series with this group, right? One World Series with this era of Dodger baseball, right? They want multiple World Series, and they know that the success or failure of this team is going to be solely based on not just getting to the World Series, but winning World Series. Look, there's a world where people might look back at this era and say one World Series with Shohei Ohtani wasn't enough. What do they say about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, right? They always say, oh, the Packers just got one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, right? So there is a world where you need multiple World Series titles to make this a successful era in the minds of fans and people in the baseball world. Me personally, give me one. Give me one, then we'll worry about the second one, okay? Give me one in a parade, and this guy will be a happy Dodgers fan and a happy camper. But is this the postseason Dodgers? Roy Estrada, stop throwing numbers. Trust to prove your point. Our pitching. Oh, yeah, exactly. Stop praising Ohtani so much. We got, he's deserving so far, though. Dodgers are so unserious from Jason Nelson. Seb_La_class was so frustrating watching this team get doubled up on with a bases loaded, no out situation that set the stone cold offense in motion. Yeah. Oh, let's break down this game, and then we'll kind of get back to some big picture stuff with the Dodgers and how this year has gone so far. Because, look, the good thing is, as far as the standard goes, you're cruising your division. You're up 5.5 games. You're 5 games back from the Phillies for the best record in baseball. This team still has all of its goals within reach. You still have the most of the season left to play. But I think we've seen a large enough sample size to at least just throw out some valid concerns. And the bottom of the lineup has just not produced. They are one of the worst statistical bottom of the lineups in all of Major League Baseball. So there's no denying that. It's not a take. That is simply a fact. But let's start there in the bottom of the first inning. Walker Buehler gives up a single to Herdebees. Then he gets De'Lon Cruz to ground into a double play. So really nice job right there. You give up the single to Herdebees, and then he's behind to De'Lon Cruz, 3-1 the count. And use that cutter to induce some soft contact, gets him to ground to the double play, because very next batter, Steer, 1-0 count. He crushes a solo home run to left, 362 feet. That gave the Reds a early 1-0 lead. And then he gives up a single to Fraley on the 8th pitch of the at-bat. So Buehler did not look sharp early on. You were a little concerned, okay, is this going to be a short outing? But after Fraley stole second, Buehler gets Stevenson to pop to first. So the pitch count started to get up that inning, but still he allowed just one run on those three hits. So that double play was big for Buehler, the pitcher's best friend in that situation. And then top of the second inning, this is where the Dodgers had a real opportunity to take control of this game. Will Smith hits a leadoff single, followed by an infield single by Teoscar Hernandez, and then a Gavin Lux walk that loaded the bases, and then Jason Hayward eighth pitch of the at-bat. He hits into a double play. They get a run across, but still, I mean, that's where you need the bottom of your lineup to step up and make something happen. We've seen this in years past where you've had guys in the bottom of the order have their moments, right? It was the Chris Taylors in the past during certain stretches, right? But that just has not been the case. And Jason Hayward, a solid at-bat to that point. I mean, he's down 1-2 in the count, fouls a couple balls off, takes a couple balls, but 99 mile per hour, four-seam fastball, bottom of the zone. He grounded the double play, and then Kike Hernandez with a runner on third, seventh pitch of the at-bat, he grounds out to end the inning. So the Dodgers get one run on two hits. He had the bases loaded, no outs, and Jason Hayward grounds into a double play, and they really had Hunter Green, went to Notre Dame High School and was going to go to UCLA, by the way. They had him on the ropes. He threw 30 pitches in that inning, and then he settled down after that. So that's the demoralizing inning right there. The great teams in baseball right now, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Braves, their lineups are just longer, right? Their lineups are just longer. You're seeing guys down in those orders go out and get big hits in big situations. That's just not the case for the Dodgers right now. It feels like after the sixth batter, it's like, okay, well, when do we get back up to Mookie Betts, right? That's just how it feels, right? The group project, you got a couple people, they're not contributing to that group project, right? They're not pulling their weight. And it was a big spot for Hayward, just didn't come through. And then same thing with Kike Hernandez. Then bottom of the second inning, after Walker Buehler got a ground out from Ford in India for the second out, he gives up another home run, a solo shot, this time to Benson. And you look at the pitch, four-seam fastball, left it right, out over the middle of the plate. But the good thing is, it's a solo shot. You'll live with those. And he bounces back to get Espinal to line to right. So they get a run on a hit there. They take a 2-1 lead after the second. And then you saw Hunter Green and Walker Buehler really cruising. Top of the third, 1-2-3 for Green. CT3 strikes out. Betts flies right. Otani, he struck out, swing on a splitty, down and in. And then bottom of the third, a 1-2-3 inning for Walker Buehler. He gets hurt a beast looking at a sinker for strike three. He struck out De La Cruz with a nasty knuckle curve that just broke and froze him at the top of the zone, and he got steered to ground to third. And then top of the fourth inning, the Dodgers get a leadoff double from Freddie Freeman. And then nothing doing after that. A Smith popped to second. Teo struck out swinging. Lux grounded to second. Then 1-2-3 for Buehler again in the fourth. Then the Dodgers go down in order in the fifth. And then really no action until you go deep into the game in this one. I mean, the bottom of the sixth inning, Herdebees, he doubled to right, eighth pitch of the at-bat. Then De La Cruz, he singled to center to give the Reds another run to make it 3-1. And then he gets steered to ground into a double play to short. And that puts the second out there. And then Yarbrough comes in. And then he gets him out after they get Fraley picked off after he gave up the single. But after that, really nothing doing for this Dodgers offense. Really just no action, no opportunities until you get a triple from Shohei Ohtani. And that's where you felt like, okay, this is where the Dodgers are getting an opportunity. This is where the Dodgers are going to make something happen. After Mookie Betts grounded to short, Shohei, he triples to right. And then following that, Freeman flied to left. And then Smith, he popped out to end the inning. So not taking advantage of opportunities, not really creating enough opportunities. The bottom of the lineup going 0-10. I mean, it's just not fun right now to watch this team play baseball just because you're not seeing them grind out at bats. You're not seeing any scrappiness. You're not seeing them go out there and just make things happen at the plate. I mean, no multi-hit games. Bottom of the lineup struggled. They go 0-7 with runners in scoring position. So not even that many opportunities. And look, Walker Buehler did enough to win this game. We're going to talk about Buehler in a second, but Buehler did enough to win this game. But I want to get back to your comments here. What up, Boomer Assassin? What up, Kenny Chung? Losing against awful teams is not a good sign for the team. Yeah, it's the worst losing streak of the season. They've lost four straight games. $1 billion, spend some some more. We got Roy Estrada. This is not panic. It's fans frustrated. Big difference. Don't get it twisted. We are good, just not good enough. Roy Estrada. Yeah, and look, I would rather struggle now. I would rather struggle dramatically to give the front office and give the baseball ops department something to do as far as fixing this roster, as far as adding some more pieces. Because let's say you're getting a couple hits here and there. Let's say you're having some moments here and there, but you don't think it's something that's going to be sustainable or something that Swelling Sauces have a fresh new idea, fire Dave Roberts. If there's just kind of treading water and you're seeing occasional production, and then the trade deadline comes and passes and you didn't address that and those players kind of are who they are, well, then guess what? The time the postseason rolls around, you're stuck with a lineup that is not going to do enough against elite pitching in the postseason. So Dave Roberts needs to find his inner Lasorda, stop the Mr. Nice Guy manager. That's from Nando. Diane Schroeder, we missed you yesterday, but how's it going? Diane Schroeder rocking with us. Really appreciate this. Always saying smash that like button for DMAC. And yeah, if you guys want to hit that like button, even if you don't like the result today, the more likes, the more giveaways, the bigger the channel is, guys. So we got to Clayton Locker. What up, DMAC? I just smashed that like button. Appreciate that, Clayton. Fans will show it no matter what. Let's go down here. 36 years and counting. Adam 818. DVO, there's only 108 games left and we're in first place. Biting my fingernails. Yeah, you can unclench those butt cheeks a little bit. Trust me. I know. And there's 100 games left, and that's a lot of time. But you start to see some bad habits. You start to see the at-bats in situations where you're not seeing enough situational hitting. You're not seeing an approach that says, okay, let's just pass the baton. You're seeing, I don't want to say selfish swings, but look, it's like your little league coaches would tell you, one swing for you, two swings for me, right? A lot of big swings in spots. Taylor batting 101, better now than October maybe. Super chat, what up, Swelling Sausage? Yeah, absolutely. The bases loaded double play was the dagger in the heart to the offense. Diane Schroeder, yeah, look, with this team struggling to push runs across like they have been lately, it seems dramatic to say that, but the truth is, yeah, I mean, when you miss an opportunity that early on, especially when you're on the road, it did feel like, wow, it's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be one of those games for this team. And look, before this series started, the last 13 games, Dodgers were hitting .213, 25th in on-base percentage at .281. The fifth highest strikeout rate, an 83 weighted runs created plus. That's 24th in the entire sport. And you're seeing them score around 3 runs per game, 3.69 runs per game in that stretch. So, look, I mean, you look at the way this Dodgers team has played. I mean, you're averaging under 4 runs per game in your last 15 games. So you put a lot of pressure on your pitching to produce. And look, tonight, let me talk a little bit about Walker Buehler because I think he deserves some love. I loved what Butane did tonight. I really did. I think what Butane did tonight really showed me again that he's going to be a dude. He's going to be, at the very least, the third or fourth best pitcher for the Dodgers this season. And that's exactly what you would have hoped for him. And occasionally, if he pitches like an ace, every now and then you get vintage Buehler. If he pitches like a number two, you'll take that. But expectations-wise, this is what you were hoping for, right? It was unrealistic to hope for him to come back and be Butane, right? This is low-octane Butane, right? It's not the 92 on the gas anymore. It's a hybrid, and it's like an 87, 89 hybrid, right? All the supercars today, they're all hybrids, right? I think this is an evolution of Walker Buehler. It's more of a hybrid version. And tonight, I thought he did a great job of limiting damage, of battling, even though he didn't get a ton of swing and miss. I thought he did a really, really nice job out there, giving this team a chance to win. He ends up going 5 2/3 innings, allowed 3 runs on 6 hits, had 4 strikeouts and 1 walk, a 27 called strike and whiff percentage. And tonight, I mean, you got those 2 solo shots in the first 2 innings, and he still almost goes six innings. And that is the recipe for success for this Dodgers team. When they go six innings, from their starting pitcher, that's when you see the wins start to pile up. And he was very close to doing just that. And look, all this was just with six swings and misses and four punch outs. And he was still able to give them almost six innings of three run ball. And that's quality from Buehler, especially in that ballpark, especially with an offense that's supposed to score a lot more than one run. And yes, you got a tipper cap to Hunter Green. He settled down after that 30 pitch second inning, and he's the ace, and he's a guy that has nasty stuff, can pump triple digits, can live there in the upper 90s. And yeah, he's a really good pitcher, but still, I think you need to get more runs and give Walker Buehler a little more run support. But still, Mitch, a lot of half full take. Look, we could easily be a couple games into the Walker Buehler return and say, uh-oh, he doesn't have it. Uh-oh, Dodgers are scrambling. Uh-oh, do they need to go out there and get another starter? I think, yes, it's always great to have as much starting pitching as you can possibly acquire, but Buehler has proved in his last couple of starts that at the very least, the velocity is consistent. He's living right there around 94, 95, 96. We've seen some 97s tonight. Walker Buehler, he averaged 95.5 miles per hour on his four-seam fastball. It topped out at 97.4 miles per hour, but it was the mix, right? 32% four seam, 23% knuckle curve, 20% sinker, 10% cutter, 8% slider, 8% changeup. We're talking about a dude in Walker Buehler that's not relying on that four-seam fastball anymore. He is mixing his pitches up. He threw six different pitches tonight, and you're seeing the evolution of a pitcher that is saying, you know what, I am going to reinvent myself, and I'm going to do it before I hit free agency. So a lot of love for Walker Buehler. Very, very impressed with his outing, because I still think he has a lot to improve upon too. I really do. I think that he's going to get better. I mean, the solo shot to Steer, that was on a slider that he left up. And then to Benson, he fell behind the count 2-0 there in the second inning. And that was a four-seam fastball that just got too much to the plate. So the key for Buehler is to continue to work on the edges with that four-seam fastball, not let it leak over the plate, and then work the lower quadrants of the zone. And then only switch that high, go up in the zone when you're occasionally switching eye level. So I love the knuckle curve. I love his pitch mix, and I think he did a hell of a job tonight, all things considered. But let me know down below, what are your thoughts on Walker Buehler's outing? We got Buehler thumbs up. I give Buehler a solid B tonight. B for Buehler. Some give Muncy a cheeseburger from Mr./X. Look, I mean, that's another thing too. Max Muncy is dealing with the oblique injury, and it looked like it was going to be a very quick return for him, and he's still on the mend. And I think that for Max Muncy, who is really kind of underappreciated as far as what he brings to this lineup, hey, we're going to see when he's going to come back, because he took ground balls on Tuesday. He started baseball activities after that oblique strain, but it looks like it's going to be a little longer than what was once projected. So they need him back in a big way too. Don't underestimate what Max Muncy does for this team. He's really off to a great start, not just offensively, but defensively. And on the year, Max Muncy, he was going through a slump too. So hopefully he gets healthy and he gets back to the player, because he was 0 for his last 14, but he's a 123 weighted runs created plus player who's hit 9 home runs in 40 games. They're missing some pop right now, even though you did leave the yard yesterday with Smith and Teo. But down below in the comment section, let me know, what are your big takeaways from tonight's loss? Bullpen is trashed. That's from David. Danny Cortez, who the hell brought in all the bots? Connor McGregor for new Dodgers manager from DVO. Walker is getting more and more comfortable from A. Dizzle. Could not agree more. Andrew, stop with all this fire, Dave Roberts. Players got to produce, especially when you pay them $700 million, if you know what I mean. Hey, Shohei's producing, and he's still playing with an injury, and he still hit a triple tonight. I mean, Freddie Freeman and Will Smith, you have an opportunity to get Shohei Ohtani home and make this a one-run game. That's on Freddie. That's on Will Smith. They got to perform better. Will Smith and Freddie Freeman, they have been struggling lately, okay? I don't want this to be a big two. I want this to be a big four. And lately, you're seeing Will Smith and you're seeing Freddie Freeman really underperform. And look, Smith had a home run yesterday. Freddie Freeman hit a double today. So there's been signs. It's not like they're going through a Chris Taylor level slump, but if you look at the last 2 weeks as a whole, it's one of the reasons why this offense has sputtered. Because last 2 weeks, Mookie, 917 OPS. Shohei, actually 810 OPS in his last 13 games with two doubles, a triple, and two home runs. So his slugging's gone down. His OPS has gone down. But Freddie Freeman hitting .235 with a .751 OPS in his last 14 games. Will Smith hitting .222 with a .736 OPS in his last 13 games. So there's where in the problem is for me, is 3 and 4 in the lineup. And I don't know, maybe is Freddie Freeman, put him in the two hole? Does he see some different pitches with Ohtani batting third? Maybe you consider that.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
With Shohei having the governor on him, right? With Shohei not being unleashed to be as dynamic on the base pass. If you're not going to run him as much, and he was on pace for a career-high 41 stolen bases before this injury, maybe you consider a little tiny lineup shakeup with Ohtani not really being as aggressive and as eager of a base runner. So something I'd consider, because I don't care what you do, this team needs some change for the sake of change, just to mix some things up. Because now I think you're officially in a funk. When Cincinnati, one of the worst teams in the National League heading into this series, and they win their first series in a while, and they take the first two, I think that you change some things up if you're the Dodgers, because it's looking stale right now for this offense. I mean, it's looking like we got the D-Mac. Why isn't Vargas getting any play? He has more upside and trade value than CT3 and Kike. Vargas should not have been called up and kept Muncy's seat warm. That's from Blue Soldier. I agree. Look, you know how I feel about Miguel Vargas. And look, you saw the double he hit earlier in the week. His bat looks better right now, okay? And I get it. There's seniority involved. You want to give Kike and Chris Taylor these opportunities, but if you're going to call someone up who's raking at the minor league level, you're going to put that to a complete halt if you don't take advantage of that, and it's going to take him out of his rhythm. So I think if you're going to give these guys opportunities, and not only just give them opportunities for the sake of opportunities, do it because you think that they're better at the plate right now than the guys that are currently available. It'd be one thing if Chris Taylor and Kike were raking right now, but that's not the case, right? So there's that. I mean, Jason Hayward. Another thing, too, Jason Hayward, I love him as a team leader. I love him as a locker room guy. His teammates would say the same thing. Having said that, we were going to get to keep a close eye on his production and to see, was last year a little bit of an aberration? Are you going to get that same version of Jason Hayward? I definitely think it's possible. I'm just saying, let's see how this thing plays out. Because so far this season, Jason Hayward, 9 games, 31 plate appearances before tonight. I mean, let's see his update. I'll update his stats real quick. Let me just do this real quick. All right, here we go. So Jason Hayward's updated numbers after tonight, 34 plate appearances, 6 hits in those 34 plate appearances, 1 home run, no doubles, no triples, 4 RBI, a walk and 4 strikeouts. So strikeout rate is low, which is good. You want to put the ball in play, situational hitting, roll into the right side when you need it. Walk rate is low too. I mean, 2.9%. And he's hitting so far 194, .235 on base with a .290 slug and a 51 weighted runs created plus. So he's 49% below average so far. So if he continues to struggle, and look, they're going to say, oh, we got to give him 100, 150 plate appearances, right? If he struggles and Mookie Betts continues to look shaky at shortstop, and what could the answer be? You got a 6-time Gold Glove Award winning shortstop. His name's Marcus Lynn Betts. And if Jason Hayward isn't producing at the plate offensively, I think some things might just happen naturally. But it's still early for Hayward. I'm just throwing it out there. Let's pay close attention because he's going to get those opportunities. I mean, last year, 91% of his plate appearances came against right-handed pitching, and we're going to see how he fares in those situations when he gets the bulk of those starts. But Dodgers got to stop simping on Lux from Nendo. 390s. David Sabatini, D-Max spitting out stats like most baseball players spit out sunflower seeds. Let me ask you guys that. What is everyone's sunflower seed plan? I mean, are you the type that kind of bites one, pops it, eats the seed, spits it out? I mean, for me, I was a big, like, just put as many seeds, sunflower seeds in your mouth type of guy and just kind of get all the flavor out, spit a bunch out, kind of eat the whole thing. I was a mess with my sunflower seeds, but how do you guys eat your sunflower seeds? We got Team Ruiz, keep Muncy on the bench and let Kike play third. Lux swinging a paper bat up there. Steve Goldstein, like Max, but he's a 220 to 240 hitter. Michael Creo, average oblique injury is a month. Yeah, and they tend to linger, right? And I think with any type of oblique injury, you really want to be careful about it, especially when you're a player that's on the other side of 30, like a Max Muncy, a guy that has really, from an athletic standpoint, he's shed weight. He's looks like he's one of the best shapes that he's been as a Dodger in years. And I think for him, it's, you really know that he's putting a ton of work in. Yeah, I think you just want to make sure that he's going to be fine before you bring him back. But yeah, I think Max Muncy, a little more appreciation for the funky Muncy, because when he's in there, this team has a better chance of scoring runs and having big innings, because he's a guy that's always going to be dangerous at the plate and a threat to go yard. Seabass, 8110, Ohtani got injured moving the couch to the new mansion. That's a fire team. I like that one. Remember, he lives in La Cañada. You know my theory about La Cañada, why I moved there? Because such a nice guy that he said, you know what? Everything that happened with the Blue Jays and the Toronto fans, I'm going to live in L.A. and Canada. La Cañada. Okay, I'm giving myself another bruh for that one like I did on the Dodgers dugout live. I don't know. Vargas has been cleaning up the last few days league-wise or Vegas. Crazy, unreal games going on. Yeah, Buehler was solid. The offense couldn't do anything against Green. Like I said, 30-pitch second inning. You had him on the ropes. You just didn't take advantage, but I agree with you. Lemon, A1A Dodgers should wear the city jerseys, so just give it to them. Yeah, might as well, right? I mean, the way they're playing at the moment, like I said, this team's going to be fine. I have all the confidence in the world that this organization is going to do whatever it takes to put this team in the best position to win the World Series right now. And they have the prospect capital to upgrade the bottom of the lineup if they think that is the direction they want to head in. So the thing is, though, they're not going to do that until they see with a large sample size that the current version of that is not getting it done. So trust the process. Trust in Andrew Friedman. I know that you can be critical of all the moves. And that's what I always say about the Andrew Friedman we trust thing is it's fun to say, but hey, as fans, no one's batting 1,000, right? As GMs, no one's batting 1,000, right? So I think it's okay to be, you can't just blindly support everything anyone does, right? You have to kind of break it all down. I mean, everything is better with a little nuance, right? Douglas with McWilliams, thank you. Go Tani. Seabass, Ferris will be fine. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. Like I said, I was absolutely impressed with Walker Buehler, not just his results. And you look at it, it doesn't wow you necessarily, but I think the confidence in his stuff. And I just think you can see that his baseball mind is evolving. The IQ has always been off the charts for him, but he is someone who has absolutely graduated from thrower to pitcher. He's truly in pitcher mode right now, and you love to see it. And look, it just goes to show that you don't have to just go out there and throw 100 to be effective in this game, right? I mean, there's a way to pitch to guys. We got Matt. I don't trust Will Smith when it matters most. He's more like a 5 or 6 hole hitter, not a cleanup. That's a hot take right there. I disagree. I think he's just going through a little bit of a slump. We got Paul Rodriguez. Shouldn't Phillips be back by now? Still needs a little more time, man. Probably going to see, hopefully sometime at the end of next week. We got Freddie is aging. We got Mookie ain't doing much, too. He did a little bit better tonight. I mean, look, he almost had a four-hit game yesterday. I mean, he almost did a home run and had a four-hit game yesterday. He had three hits. So I think Mookie's doing just fine. It's just the rest of the lineup as a whole collectively isn't doing enough. But, man, they've been in a funk for a while from Javier Mora. Way too many strikeouts. Yeah, that's another thing, too. This team is striking out a little too much in certain situations. We got change the lineup, sit Freddie. I agree with Maddie, man. I think the thing with Freddie Freeman is, like, look, sometimes these older players that, of course, want to accumulate as many counting stats as you can because we know that he's in the legacy stage, right? You guys know my five stages of big leaguer. He's in the fifth stage. That's the legacy stage. World Series. It's MVPs. It's Hall of Fame. And he wants to get as many stats as he possibly can to put himself in a position to make it to Cooperstown. But still, at some point, I think you really need to go to Freddie Freeman and say, you know what? We got Kike Hernandez to play first today. We think that your numbers overall, from a rate standpoint, would be better if you took a day off here and there. I mean, you're going to have like Dodger Stadium security pull him off the field just to take a day off, right? I mean, he always says, okay, I take the day off when we win the division, okay? I mean, I just don't think that's a great idea. I don't think that that's a 2024 modern baseball type of approach. I think that he'd be better served with a day off here and there. But who else is there to bring up? We already brought up Páez and Vargas. I mean, Andre Lipsius, he's raking down there. Maybe they give him a shot. Nando 390, Freddie still cares about being a Brave. Nando, Greg is a member of the, okay, we got some more here. 198, Hayward. Is Roberts isn't capable of making tough decisions. That was a terrible trade to have for a manager. Disagree. I think, I mean, I can't, Roberts isn't spinning the, he's not swinging the bat right now, right? I mean, I think a lot of this is on the personnel, but we got to at least the last few weeks for sure. We got Richard Flores. What up, Richard, my man? I'll give you a comment of the show right off the bat. CT3, Hayward, Kike, fan favorites, but favorite players that are clearly not getting it done and not putting runs on the board. Sorry, too much money spent because they make good bobblehead nights. Look, I think that there's something to be said about Kike Hernandez, right? And it's kind of the icing on the cake. It's kind of the final straw in a deal breaker for him is that, okay, he's versatile. He can play infield, the outfield. He's played every single position except catcher, right? And I think for players like that, you do consider how popular they are with the fan base. You do consider how popular they are in the clubhouse. But look, I think that you can't put too much on these guys' shoulders at the bottom of the lineup. They're going out there, they're doing the best they can. It just makes you wonder, are there better options available, and are these guys suited for everyday type of at-bats, you know? I think some of those guys, it kind of makes you wonder, especially in this lineup, as far as overall talent. I think overall talent, I think that you kind of want an everyday outfielder that you don't have to worry about plugging into different spots, right? I mean, guys, we talked about, you know, we talked about Randy Rosarena, Connor Joe, and guys like Tyler O'Neill. I mean, Lane Thomas is another name. I mean, pieces that really would solidify a possible lineup that you're not worried about mixing and matching guys, and certain guys who are just their skill set and their talent level at this stage of the career is being more of a versatile bench player. But here we go, guys. Couple more, and these are your strategies. That was a long show, I didn't realize it. One seed at a time, says Jack Geezy. Diane says, I don't eat sunflower seeds. Yeah, a mouthful always from David Sabatini. I prefer shellless sunflower seeds from Professor. I would much rather have Rojas at short and Mookie back at right. I like Kike at third. Yeah, defense-wise, he's phenomenal still. Shellless is king. That's from Rebecca Michelle. Adam A1A says, I haven't ate sunflower seeds in Little League till my mouth was sore from David. Mouthful of seeds. Okay, guys, take the sunflower seeds away. Greg, go back to BC, I prefer the almonds or pistachios or something other than sunflower seeds. One pistachio at a time. We got Richard. Does that mean all of your CT3 bobbleheads are now listed on eBay? Man, the bobbleheads for this year are really expensive. I mean, on the aftermarket. I mean, the Freddy one, the Mookie one, the Will Smith, the Bruised R one, all fetching over $50. But you get three bros for that one, D-Mac. You guys are crazy. The family show, okay? But that's going to be for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Hit that like button. Have a happy Memorial Day. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And think blue.